are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
The Detroit Pistons select Killian Hayes from Lakeland, Florida.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, November the 19th. And I think it's tank season here in Detroit. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for staying with us for months and months and months. Talking about a team that does not exist anymore because we have a whole new franchise here in the NBA with the Detroit Pistons, and they're apparently looking to be good several years down the road. We're going to talk all about it, tell you what we know about all the new Pistons, not all of them, the rookies. We don't have time to talk about Tony Bradley probably today, but Brian is joining us, and I've got a little big picture stuff later on too. Brian, how you feeling? Do you feel concussed now at this point? How are you?
Oh, my. I'm still spinning here. I'm buried in paper from the notes I was taking. I'm flying all over Twitter tonight. My fingers are tired, but we got through it. I think we're going to be better for it. And, let's chop it up.
Yeah, give me a follow on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore vet. Let's skip the rest of the Twitter feeds. You guys know those. Let's get right to the news here. The first thing that happened was the trade with Houston. The Pistons acquire Trevor Ariza, take that salary back, get 16 from Houston, give away a second-round pick for next year, which is that Lakers pick, which is probably going to be really late. And so pretty inconsequential there. I don't know if that was a separate deal or the same deal. Not really important. But they also gave up a future first-round pick, which is heavily protected, top 16 for 4 years, top 10 for 2 years, top 9 for the year after that, and then conveys into second-round picks after that. It will probably be a first-round pick. Pistons fans better hope that ends up being a first-round pick, because if you're bad enough for 7 years where you're picking in the top nine, that's an issue. So, but who knows? We'll see down the line what happens there. Pistons made some picks. Then later on, they made another trade. Luke Kennard is gone, sent to the Clippers. Pistons get 19 this year in the draft and had to take Rodney Magruder 2 years, $5 million apiece on his bill for that. The Pistons also traded some cash, and they got Tony Bradley, a backup center from Utah, took his contract back, about $3.5 million, and the number 38 pick. And they drafted a whole bunch of players as well. They took Killian Hayes at number 7, which I'm sure I know has Pistons Twitter really excited and really happy. Isaiah Stewart at 16 out of Washington, Sadiq Bey at 19 out of Villanova, and Saben Lee at 38. I guess that's the two of the most famous, I just thought at the top of my head, two of the most famous Southerners' last names, Nick Saban and General Lee, right? So
yes.
There you go, Saben Lee. Luke Kennard's gone. Bruce Brown was gone the other day. John and Musa's coming in, a second-round pick from Brooklyn as well. There's just too much going on. But, Brian, I think Fred Van Vliet's out the window. I think Montrezl Harrell is out the window. I have serious questions about whether it's even worth it to give a big contract to Christian Wood at this point. A great player, a very good player, and a young player. But the way that Troy Weaver is signaling that he's not wanting to pay much money to anyone, it sounds like he's clearing the decks. Am I off on that that interpretation of the night so far?
Well, as many players as the Pistons acquired tonight, and it brings the total now to under contract or having the draft rights to 15 players currently, but still about $17, $18 million to play within free agency, this roster is still not complete. This isn't what we're going to be walking into the season with. But I don't think you go after any high-priced free agents now, because obviously all the moves that he made tonight signal that we're not looking for next year or probably even the year after. We're probably looking at 2 or 3 years down the road before the team's looking to be super competitive. So going after a high-priced free agent this year, or even talking about Christian Wood in that $15 million range, doesn't make much sense. So, yeah, I think your assessment's correct on that one, that while free agency, we're going to make some signings because there's some money to spend or take on some contracts potentially, that it's not going to be something that's we should be waiting for bated breath with.
Yeah, and James Edwards III of The Athletic reporting that Saben Lee, it looked like he's going to be on track for a two-way deal. So he'll be one of those guys with the two-way deals. And really, another big picture thought I had is that the Troy Weaver era coming into this week, I thought it could go maybe one of two directions, and I really didn't entertain this third direction is what had happened, was maybe one is Tom Gores says, let's get to the playoffs, let's get Fred Van Vliet, let's take a solid player at number seven, your Tyrese Halliburton type who can help right away, and try to get to the playoffs. Number two being either stay at seven, have a quiet draft, build slowly towards the future, maybe even do that trade up, maybe even get that LaMelo Ball type to try to be good 2-3 years from now. But this is more of a move where it's like, this is a team that's thinking about 4 or 5 years, not maybe not 4 or 5. I don't want to be overly dramatic. There's a way that this team is decent in 3 years, you know, and not bad in 2 years, but and especially, I mean, first of all, you trade away Bruce Brown and Luke Kennard, two of your top 5 or 6 players on your roster when healthy. And so that's makes your team worse. And I understand the reasoning for making those trades. I was very surprised about the lack of value for both Bruce Brown and Luke Kennard, which makes me think that I'm the wrong one. It makes me think that I had maybe inflated values for them. Now, obviously, both of these guys have got to get paid this year, this summer or next. It's probably next summer for both of them, this offseason or next. And but the third way, you know, the third route that they took, especially with the Houston trade, with that future first-round pick, the protections there, it signals that this is a team that's not interested. And if there's a world where Blake Griffin and Derrick Rose are great this year and have career years and drag this team to the playoffs somehow, I think that's kind of bonus because it's like, well, I guess we're just going to lose that pick. But the way that this is structured is they feel like this is a team that's going to be picking in the top 16 for the next 3-4 years. So and that's okay, and that's fine, and that could mean Amani Bates, that could mean Cade Cunningham. There's nothing wrong with that, but a little bit shocking that they kind of stripped it down as much as they have this past week.
Well, and I think in your example that you're talking about, if Blake Griffin and Derrick Rose have career years that are potentially dragging the Pistons to the playoffs, you almost want to cut bait at that point and get flip them for whatever assets you can at the trade deadline, because then you're just, you know, as Troy Weaver's shown in his past with OKC, and they continue to do since he's left, is just acquiring assets. And, you know, I don't say you want to tank for the season or you're aiming to miss the playoffs, but if those two guys come out and have a year that they're actually dragging this young team to the playoffs, then, you know, that's the best case scenario, because you should be able to cash that in for more than you'd, than we're sitting here right now expecting that we could potentially get for either of those two players.
Yeah, and just a long night, but I just want to throw this out there too. The Michigan State players, Xavier Tillman and Cassius Winston, both slipped to the second round. Xavier Tillman goes 35, ends up with the Memphis Grizzlies, and Cassius Winston picked by Oklahoma City, but he ends up in Washington. He slides all the way to 53. Best of wishes to those guys, rooting for those guys to have strong and long careers in the NBA as well. But we just did a whole first segment about the draft. Haven't even really talked about Killian Hayes yet. If you would have told me that a week ago, that the Pistons draft Killian Hayes, and it's kind of a second segment sort of topic for the recovery of what's going on here, I would not have believed that. But unbelievable. We're taping here after midnight on draft night, and a lot more to get to. This will be like a several part. It's just crazy that we just did hundreds of episodes of Locked On Pistons where we had nothing to talk about, and now we can't fit everything in to right now. But let's get to the draft picks. Brian's going to tell us all about Killian Hayes and Sadiq Bey. We're going to talk about Isaiah Stewart as well. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, I took Built Go today, and that was my best decision that I made all day. I needed it to break through the wall, worked all day, and now we're past midnight taping podcasts about the craziest draft. Not craziest draft, but a crazy draft. Anyway, Built Go's not paying me to talk about the draft. Break through your wall with Built Go. Makes you the best you at whatever you do, whether it's the mental or the physical wall. Break through it with Built Go every day. Easy to take around in the 1.5-ounce packages. It's the best workout gel on the market, and it tastes great. Three delicious flavors, peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. How does Built Go work so well? Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system very quickly. Plus, it's easy on the stomach, which you need as you're going on throughout your day. Built Go is loaded with the good stuff to ignite my work. It's got the beta-alanine, the B3, the honey, and the kick of caffeine as well. Built Go then kicks in to keep me going strong. That collagen protein, it also promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health as well. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com. I got two big boxes in the shipment the other day. Couldn't be happier. BuiltGo.com. Use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go!
Yes, sir!
With the 16th pick in the 2020 NBA Draft, the Portland Trailblazers select Isaiah Stewart from the University of Washington.
Killian Hayes, a 19-year-old, 6'5", 175-pound point guard. Born in Lakeland, Florida, where his father, Darren Hayes, played in the American Basketball Association, he moved early in his life to France when his father started playing professionally in the top French basketball league. Hayes started playing basketball in the youth ranks for Cholet Basket, the professional team his dad played for. He wanted to come to America to play college basketball, but on the advice of his family, he decided to stay in France, where he also turned down an invitation to attend a prestigious sports academy in Paris in 2016 to start playing for Cholet Espoir in the LNB Espoir, a French under-21 league. Hayes shared MVP honors in the Jordan Brand Classic International game, and then in 2017, his star really began to rise as he averaged over 16 points and 7 assists for the Espoir Cholet and being named MVP in the regular season, and then repeated that honor in the postseason while leading the team to the trophy of the future. In 2017, at the age of 16, Hayes played his first game for the Cholet senior team. He represented France in the 2017 FIBA Under-16 European Championships, where he was named the tournament MVP en route to a gold medal, averaging over 16 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. In 2018, Hayes was the second youngest participant at the Basketball Without Borders camp during NBA All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles, and then returned to that camp in 2019 while it was held in Charlotte, North Carolina during that year's NBA All-Star festivities. Also in 2018, Hayes again suited up for France in the FIBA Under-17 World Cup and averaged over 16 points for the silver medal winning squad, and was named to the tournament's All-Star 5. In 2019, Hayes went to Germany to start to play for the Basketball Bundesliga, Germany's top league, for Rasiofarm Ulm, and averaged over 11 points and 5 assists, and becoming the second youngest player to ever record a double-double in EuroLeague action. The youngest was Ricky Rubio. When the season was postponed in March for COVID, Hayes came back to the U.S. with his family and didn't return when the season restarted, instead opting to declare for the draft and work on his game domestically. Hayes told ESPN's Mike Schmitz how his game has evolved over the last few years.
I've been going into my body, I've been stronger, like the way I read the game, the way I see the game, where I see how I read defenses, like all them little things.
A man of few words, this potential second piece of a French connection in the former French settlement that is Detroit seems almost cornily poetic. But with his blazing pace and plus size at a deep point guard position in this draft, it's impossible to ignore. And with that top speed comes a flashiness that is fun to watch. With this overseas prospect, you would be adding instant offense to the lineup as his playmaking ability and the potential that comes with a smooth shooting stroke and quick release just screams the ability to add points to the scoreboard. He is certainly left-handed dominant, and I would like to see him play on the other side of the court more often to keep defenders off balance, as he sometimes finds himself in tough positions because of opponents' knowledge of where he is probably going to go, and then tries to force some plays that result in poor possessions or even turnovers. But he does have great court vision and can make just about every pass. And he can pass teammates open with a great touch. In what is a theme in most drafts, and certainly in this one, he needs to add strength so that he doesn't have to rely on his plus footwork as much to stay in front of opposing players on the defensive end, and he tends to have a tough time playing through contact and fighting through screens. And he sometimes gets lost on the defensive end of the ball, but maturity and coaching has a very good chance to break that habit. The perimeter game is a strength as he shoots near 40% from international three and has the potential to get even better with some coaching. And being over 90% from the charity stripe is a good marker to show that he is going to be able to improve that part of his game. He has been a favorite of Piston fans on Twitter and Reddit for months, and he might be just what Troy Weaver and Detroit want. His friendship and past playing with current Piston Sekou Doumbouya would lend itself to the idea that the two could help each other develop and adjust to their newfound status as potential future stars in the league. I have made no secret of my thought that the Pistons should dip their feet into the deep pool that is the 2020 class of point guards, and this guy is just about as good as any of the other names that might be available. Some interesting NBA comps I have seen are D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie. Sadiq Bey, a 21-year-old, 6'8", 216-pound small forward. Bey attended the Sidwell Friends School in Bethesda, Maryland after transferring from Damantha Catholic High School, and after a high school growth spurt, he led Sidwell to a state championship his junior season. As a senior, he averaged 21 points and 8 rebounds a game and rated a 4-star recruit. After being released from a letter of intent with North Carolina State, he ended up at Villanova to play for Coach Jay Wright's Wildcats. He started 29 games his freshman year with league champion Nova and was named to the Big East All-Freshman team. As a sophomore, he averaged 16 points and 5 rebounds and was a unanimous selection to the All-Big East first team and won the Robert B. Giese Trophy awarded annually to the top player in the Philadelphia Big Five. Bey saw a drastic improvement between his freshman and sophomore year in his shooting, both from the charity stripe and behind the arc, shooting 80% from the line and over 45% from college three-point range, something he credits to his hard work in the gym, as he told Mike Schmitz on ESPN.
Working on my craft every day, in our offense, we preach like catch and shoot.
Yeah.
Even if it's slightly contested, like if you want to step into it and we feel comfortable, let it go. So I think just practicing like every day and just working on the fundamentals, and my coaching staff helping me, try to perfect my shot as much as I can, just gave me the confidence to be able to to shoot better. So it was great.
Bey possesses a high basketball IQ, and on the defensive end, his versatility defending multiple positions became apparent, as he was asked to switch a lot on screens to defend smaller guards. That isn't to say that Bey can't fight through screens, because he can, and his ability to chase down shooters and play good recovery defense is apparent when watching him on film. He doesn't take many chances on the defensive end, so he doesn't force a lot of turnovers, but is very rarely out of position and can stay with smaller players. Bey is a classic 3-and-D guy, and there are questions about how well his offensive game will translate to the NBA in terms of getting to the basket to finish against more athletic players. Some NBA comparisons I have seen are Wesley Matthews and Denzel Valentine.
So we'll talk a lot more about Killian Hayes and Sadiq Bey and Brian Shook joining us here on Locked On Pistons. I'm your host, Matt Shook. But thanks again, Brian, for putting together those profiles. We got 2 out of 3 with the first round picks. I did say that the Pistons were going to take more than one first round pick. If I don't, I got to pat myself on the back once here as we go. But 16 overall, Isaiah Stewart. This is my favorite pick that the Pistons made in the first round today. What do you think about that?
That's surprising for me to hear you say, because that was the one that I thought was a little bit of a stretch. But I think he's going to provide, some depth for a lot of years to come. After the pick was made, threw on some tape of him to kind of reacquaint myself with this guy, since that wasn't somebody that we had profiled. Big body, good guy in high school, won 2 National Player of the Year awards coming out of high school. So he was very highly touted going into college and going out west, playing in Washington. Was a first team all Pac-10 or Pac-12 guy his freshman year. So definitely nothing to sneeze at. But what about him made him your favorite pick?
Just the pedigree. I mean, I know a lot of people had him late first round, and it was a little bit of a surprise to go at 16. But as far as this is a real swing that they're taking with this guy, right? But he's got the Pistons' tenacity. What's interesting about, and I'll throw all 3 of these guys in, as I found kind of the shared characteristic and the shared problem as well is that none of these three guys, and we're talking about the first round guys, I think Saben Lee is on a little bit different of a category. He's more of a flyer. But Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey, and Isaiah Stewart, all of them are tenacious competitors, but none of them are great athletes. They try their ass off on defense, but again, they're not great gifted athletes. Now, they're not bad athletes, but all of them work hard, but do they have that ceiling to be elite defenders? I don't know about that, but Isaiah Stewart, everything you read, everything you see about this guy is he works his ass off. I mean, he's like 6'9", but he's got that 7'4" wingspan. We know that Killian Hayes has got some size as well. I'd like to see him add some strength. Sadiq Bey is 6'11" wingspan, sitting at about 6'8". The wingspan for Saben Lee is crazy. So if you're wondering about the body type that Troy Weaver likes, we were emphatically answered that question today. But Isaiah Stewart just read the New York Post story, which called him a bad boy, according to his college coach at Washington, Mike Hopkins. Like you said, a player of the year from La Lumiere, one of the best prep schools down in Indiana. People in Michigan very familiar with that school. Hopkins calls him a culture changer and a guy who is kind of a bully under the basket. And again, I'm not talking about him being maybe the cornerstone of a franchise, but for a guy in what I think is a bad draft to be overperforming that number 16 slot and to being a guy that, look, he was the number two prospect going into last year out of high school behind only James Wiseman, had a solid season. But him and Jaden McDaniels, both those guys were freshmen at Washington last year. Jaden McDaniels goes down to the bottom of the first round. They had such a bad season as a team at Washington that they got kind of forgotten about in the draft talk. And maybe it's for better, maybe it's for worse. But I like both of those guys in terms of the pedigree and the talent and taking that flyer on those kind of guys and seeing what happens when you have three first-round picks and you completely whiff. If Isaiah Stewart's a huge whiff, that's fine. At least you took that swing if you're Troy Weaver.
Yeah, and he's going to be somebody who does get down and dirty and have that Piston DNA in him. He's not an explosive guy. He's not a type of guy who's going to be playing above the rim a lot. He uses his body very well on both ends of the court to get rebounds and position himself to score. But, yeah, he's going to be kind of a mucker or a mutter, I guess, if he were a horse, it would be the term I'd use. He's definitely going to be somebody who – Piston fans will probably gravitate to because of his style of play and his, you know, his workmanship. So, yeah, it'll be fun to watch him hopefully develop here over the next couple of years.
And not they couldn't say enough great things about Sadiq Bey on the broadcast of the draft. Jay Billis loves guys like Sadiq Bey who come from a system like Villanova where they're prepared to be good pros. Mikhail Bridges, but maybe not quite as good, is kind of the name that comes to mind there. But to all these guys, Sadiq Bey plays hard, shot it really well from three this past year, like you talked about. And I just, I don't know. I like these players at their draft spots in this draft, but I just am still down on this draft overall. So I guess that's kind of my takeaway on these guys. What do you think about just this three first-round picks? In love with one of them or all of them, or what do you think? I mean, everyone's excited on Pistons Twitter from what I can tell.
Well, my favorite pick initially and probably still right away was Sadiq Bey at where they got him. The other two where I like these two players, but there was an option or two at those positions that I would have been more excited about. So I think that's maybe where some of my, you know, disappointment comes from in those two picks. And I love Killian Hayes, don't get me wrong, but you know, I've talked about Kyrie for a couple of weeks. So there was that part of me that was hoping that was the name that was going to be called. And when Isaiah Stewart went, Poku was drafted right after him. And that I thought would have been an interesting project to take on going down the road. So yeah, I understand where your, you know, sense of, you know, disappointment's probably a too strong of a word, but there were other names there that I would have been more excited about coming out of the draft with. But as I look at them as a collective, I like this class more than if I were to break it down individually about the, you know, player by player. So I understand where you're coming from, and I kind of feel the same way. But as I'm looking at them as a whole and how they fit into a plan and the direction it seems that Weaver's taking this team, I'm feeling better and better about it as we move forward.
All right, we got some more big picture thoughts coming up next as we try to break down one of the craziest nights really in Pistons history in some ways, transactional wise. I'm sure we've had more successful nights as a franchise, but certainly it's been a long time since we've had this much excitement in one night about the Detroit Pistons. So we're going to talk about that. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
With the 19th pick in the 2020 NBA Draft, the Brooklyn Nets select Sadiq Bey from Villanova University.
All right, so Brian Shook here with us, brother Brian, as he often is. We appreciate all of his help during draft season, and now we need his analysis. Brian, we are behind us now, the 2020 draft. It took so long to get here. It came so quickly, and now there's seven new Pistons. We're only saying goodbye to one. It's crazy that Luke Kennard just got traded from the Pistons, the longest tenured Piston coming into the night. Now he's gone. We're not even going to talk about him today. What are your big impressions, your big picture thoughts about how this day went?
I think overall it was a resounding success. I had four boxes that I wanted to check as they happened tonight, and Weaver and the Pistons checked all four of them. First of all, we didn't trade up. I think that was important that we didn't do that and try to jump into those first couple picks. We didn't draft LaMelo Ball, which was another thing that I did not want to do and start that circus. And we left the draft with our primary ball handler of the future, which I thought was really important. There were a couple names that I thought that could be, and Killian Hayes was right near the top of the list, you know, top of that list. And the fourth thing was I wanted to acquire another pick or two, and we certainly did that tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. So my big picture thoughts is, but first of all, and maybe this is me overrating the Bruce Browns and Luke Kennard types, but I thought I'm not a fan of the trades that Troy Weaver has made so far, but I am a fan of the picks that he has made. These guys that they picked relative to their draft position, I like the upside. I like the tenacity. I like the culture. I like that the players they're bringing in, we've talked about Killian and Sekou, the French connection there, that could be a good thing for both of those guys. But I just wonder if the Pistons are unfortunately kind of going, and not all in, of course they're not all in by any of these moves that they've made, but they've made aggressive moves in a bad draft. I think that this isn't the draft that maybe you wanted to do this type of thing, but maybe this is just how it lined up. And maybe, just maybe, the top three guys in this draft aren't very good, but maybe that 4 through 20, if you're the Pistons' sake, ends up being a pretty good or an average draft. And that would be good because the Pistons have three of those players, obviously. So how this draft kind of shakes up, I don't watch all that much college basketball during the season. We've all watched the YouTube clips of these guys these last few months, but it's kind of hard to just really put yourself into the overall level of college basketball or the overall level of the German league that Killian Hayes is playing in. So it's a little bit tough to kind of wrap your arms around what you're seeing from some of this stuff on a big picture point of view. But my other takeaway from this is this finally feels to me like a Dwayne Casey team. I think that Dwayne Casey was the only one who was more annoyed than me about how much his perimeter players just got dusted defensively over these last couple of years. Luke Kennard has never been a Dwayne Casey player. That is not a secret. And we finally kind of saw that come to fruition this past year. Bruce Brown, in theory, might have been a Dwayne Casey player, but those guys bickered quite a bit on the court. The fact that Dwayne Casey said that he was not a point guard before the rest of us had come to that conclusion, I think it drove Dwayne Casey crazy. And like you said, getting that lead ball handler in Killian Hayes, Dwayne Casey needs a point guard that he can trust. And Derrick Rose is okay. Derrick Rose is going to do the job here for this next year or so. And Dwayne Casey really likes Derrick Rose, but he wants to really, really like his point guard. He wants to find that Kyle Lowry. And that's not to say that Killian Hayes will be Kyle Lowry, but if he can trust that guy that much and then get players that are just competing on the rest of the court. And I think that Isaiah Stewart does that. I think Sadiq Bey does that. Again, these guys aren't going to play in all-star games. These guys are hopefully high-end role players, and that's okay for where they're draft slotted. But I think that Dwayne Casey, in his third year with the Detroit Pistons, seems like him and his general manager are on the same page. And maybe Ed Stefanski would have made a lot of these same moves if he was in charge, and now they have some assets, some flexibility to be able to do some of this stuff. But it's even you talk about Trevor Ariza, and I know that he's a salary at this point and might not even play a game for the Detroit Pistons, but he kind of has that mojo, that level of compete as well. So even the guys that you might end up cutting are guys that can play with the Detroit Pistons. So that's kind of where I'm at with tonight, where I'm at with this draft. I'm excited because it's something new. I think at the very least, even if you like Luke Kennard and like Bruce Brown, and I like that we can move on, because I felt like with Pistons fans, there was like a Luke Kennard camp and a Bruce Brown camp, and we kind of butt heads a lot on Pistons Twitter and stuff. Well, now everyone's gone, so we don't have to worry about that fight anymore. But now it's like all these young guys, a lot of losses. You got to find diamonds in the rough as you watch these games. I don't know. I'm kind of excited about it. I'm more excited than I thought I would be if you would have told me, hey, you're going to be watching a 25-win team coming up this season. Now, there won't be – they probably won't win 25 because there's only 72 games this year. But it's going to be a rough season, we'll see how Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin fit into all this. But, hey, change, new players, new blood, a new attitude, a new general manager. I don't know. I mean, it's – to me, with the trades, it's a B – right now in terms of the day. The trades to me are a C minus or a D plus. The picks are more of a B plus, something like that. But overall, it's changed, and I think that's good for the Detroit Pistons and this organization going forward. But Brother Brian, thanks again for all your help with draft prep and draft reaction. We've got so much more in the days to come. Free agency starts in like 36 hours, if you can believe that. Unbelievable. But that'll do it for us today. I am your host, Matt Shook. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great day. We'll have more tomorrow.
Be up.